Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer Podcast. It is Tuesday, July 24th, and this is the 29th episode of our podcast. This is John Callahan talking again. With us is Larry and Tim. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. How about you, Larry?
Doing good, Tim. Thanks for asking. And how are you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. Still kind of catching up after my Comic-Con experience. I've got a lot of stuff that need to be tended to that I kind of let, had to put on the back burner, and I'm finally starting to catch up on that. So all that's going on. This is going to be a slightly different podcast for the week. Mainly because that due to a couple of developments, we're going to be putting the podcast on hiatus after this week. This will be the last podcast we're going to put on for a little while. We're not going away. We'll return to the podcast at some point. But right now it looks like Tim has got some previous commencements to school, and he wouldn't be able to join us or handle the live podcast portions. And also, Larry has also gotten some other commitments that he has to do, and so he will not be able to return. So it's probably good for us to kind of put the podcast on hiatus for a little bit. Not forever, I don't think. I hope. But we will definitely be taking a little bit of a time off, and especially since, right now for gaming, there's not a lot of news in the summer months. So hopefully we'll come back later on in the year where there's a lot more to talk about, quite frankly. Right now, there's simply not a lot to talk about in terms of gaming news. Yeah. I'm sure my two colleagues would agree with that.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And the hiatus, of course, is a good time for us to, spend time building NeoGamer as a site, getting the audience up for that, and, everything that anyone that listens can do to, bring in more visitors to the site would be great, but I think we'll be focusing a bit on that, and definitely hope to return a bit later, especially once I finish my last few months of school. So
exactly.
It'll be good to get back in the future, I think.
We definitely want to continue doing the podcast, but it's just like right now, it's just a whole sort of combination of things that's kind of preventing us from probably doing the podcast as the way we want to do it. So we will be back later on in the year. I'm pretty sure that's true. And in the meantime, we will continue to update NeoGamer. NeoGamer is definitely not going away. And I've actually got hopefully some pretty cool content updates for that in the near, very near future. So that's that. Since this is the last podcast we're going to be doing for a little while, let's talk about what games we're thinking we've played in the past week or so. Tim, did you? I think you said you had played Torchlight. Since you've gotten your PC up and running?
Yeah, in the Steam Summer Sales, it was one of the games that I had managed to pick up for really cheap. And of course, there's the Torchlight 2's coming out this summer. I think that's the plan or something like that?
That's the plan. They still say sometime this summer, so they've got another couple of months to go with that. So
yeah, I figured I'd, check it out. If there's a sequel coming up pretty soon, I thought, yeah, may as well get in and see what this game's like. I really didn't know exactly what it would be like. I didn't really read anything about it, and I've got to say, it's really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit disappointed that they didn't try and guide people into the game a bit more. I actually had to pick up the manual and read it to see
really?
about some of the stuff that was included in the game, but No, I'm really enjoying the whole style. I've never played, I have played a game, this sort of point and click isometric RPG style game. I played one ages ago, but yeah, this mm-hmm. is the first time I've sort of revisited this genre, and it seems like there's a lot of stuff to do. The dungeon environments or the cave mine environments or whatever it's supposed to be seem to be endless, and there's loads of quests, loads of items to pick up and check. There's a lot of leveling, and it seems to be a really, really good independent game. And also, it happens to be one of the few independent games that I've ever played on PC. And yeah, I'm really liking it. So
cool.
Have you guys ever played it?
Oh, yeah, I have. Keep in mind, Tim, that you may not be aware of this. This game was made in like 14 months. This was not a game that took a long time to make. I mean, what happened was these guys at Runic Games, they previously worked at Flagship Studios and were working on a kind of a free-to-play MMO type of game called Fate. And then that was never actually released because Flagship Studios kind of went belly up. But they reformed, some of the team reformed as Runic, and they started production in August of 2008, and the game came out in October of 2009. So,
wow,
14 months.
Going.
It's pretty quick game. They it definitely has a little bit. It could be a little bit more polished, perhaps. And as you say, they probably could have added some more tutorials. But considering the game didn't take a whole lot, it's a very enjoyable and addictive game, I think.
And I would have liked to maybe see more than just the sort of cave environment. But as you say, if they've made it in 14 months, it's pretty good going to get what they've done. And it seems like there's a lot more gameplay to explore. I mean, I've only played an hour or so.
Yeah,
that's definitely what I'll be checking out for the next coming weeks, I think, before trying to organize a review of both Sleeping Dogs and Darksiders 2, which is coming out in August.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes. August, August is finally when we finally get some major games coming out, hopefully. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but Runic actually posted up a little infographic about comparing Torchlight and the upcoming sequel in terms of the amount of content. Basically, it's going to be about four times the amount of content in Torchlight 2 in comparison to the original game.
That's good.
And it'll have multiplayer. And there was no multiplayer in the original game, and there'll be multiplayer in Torchlight 2, which will even add to even more replayability. So there's that. And it's definitely a game that I think a lot of people are actually looking forward to more so than maybe even Diablo 3. I don't think that Torchlight 2 is going to require a constant on internet connection to play the single player game. So
no.
I know a lot of people were not happy about that. So there's certainly been more. It came out in 2009, so it's going to be about 3 years since the original game came out. So that's a pretty good amount of time for the game to come out. So they've been working on it for a while. So certainly not as long as Diablo 3, but I think this is going to be a pretty huge game when it comes out. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, it's still slated for summer. So really, we have pretty much no idea when it's supposed to officially come out, but just have to wait and see.
They did a beta test, a multiplayer beta test in May, and I think they probably took a little more time than they thought to after that beta test to maybe finalize some features. So there's that.
Forward to that, I think, when it comes out.
Yeah. Yep. Larry, what have you been playing lately?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD.
Do you like that? Do you like that? I've never really been a big fan of that of that whole genre. So
I mean I love it. I have very, very fond memories of the original Tony Hawk games, and it's the exact same game just with HD graphics. I mean, literally pretty much the exact same game. So I love it. I'm actually almost done with, I think the game included 7 or 8 levels. And I've 100%ed the first 4 levels. I'm about at 98% for the next 3, and I just have the one final level to play, and I'll pretty much have beaten the first set of levels. But I hear they're going to be releasing DLC or whatever. But yeah, I just have I have incredibly fond memories of the game. I used to actually skateboard way, way back when. And
oh, really?
So, yeah. So, you know, for me, when that game first came out, it was like the first game that actually brought something that I did as a kid to video games. So, you know, that's part of a huge, that's a huge reason why I was really into it. So, yeah, I think it's great. And anyone that enjoyed the original games, it's really just a trip down memory lane. There's nothing new about it. The one and only disappointing thing is the Tony Hawk games were really known for their soundtracks. They're really good soundtracks, and I hear due to some licensing issues, they couldn't get all the original songs from the original soundtrack. So there's some newer mm-hmm. songs mixed in with the original soundtrack. So that'd be the only criticism I have for it. Other than that, it's been great, and really glad I picked it up. And other than that, I've just still been playing Driver, San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game.
You've been raving about that for quite a bit. So, yeah, cool.
What about you?
Like I said, I've been trying to catch up on my work here and also my work at home, so I haven't had a chance to even play anything. So, sorry to say. Although, I've been signing up for betas. I'm signing up for betas for Smite and... You know, I'm signing for betas for a couple other free-to-play games. So, yeah, I mean, there's quite a... I mean, it just seems like there's, like, this huge influx of free-to-play games that are coming out in the next 12 months or so. I just think that it's just... I don't know. I'm kind of wishing that it would kind of stop, you know? You know, free-to-play is not the entire... Free-to-play should not be just all these... people thinking it's going to be a huge money maker for them through microtransactions.
Yeah.
Especially with so many different games flooding the market at once. I mean, how many games can there be that are free to play before people just settle on the good ones and pretty much overlook the not so good ones, you know? So, yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. There was some interesting news today on the DayZ mod for Arma 2. The developer of that mod, the main developer, wants to create a standalone game based on DayZ, and is basically saying that it, barring any kind of financial, you know, backing problems, he wants to get it done by the end of this year. And I mentioned this in my story. I think that Bohemia Interactive, which makes Arma 2, would like to, you know, make a deal with this guy to create the DayZ mod and publish it through, you know, Bohemia Interactive, you know, because it behooves them to keep that property with them, don't you think? Because it's boosted Arma 2 big time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
I commented in the article that you put up. I for one would love this because I've been incredibly intrigued by it. As I said, I'm a fan of Walking Dead and I just like zombie games, but I'll be honest, I'm one of those people that I think Arma 2 is just a little too realistic. I did check it out.
Yeah.
You know, I checked it out way back when, and I couldn't even get through the damn like training camp or whatever it would be called.
It's definitely hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just lost.
Like,
yeah. No, I'm not even kidding. On the shooting range, I did not get through. I couldn't hit the damn target because of the wind and the bullets. Like it was ridiculous. Like I literally gave up after like 25 minutes of sheer frustration. So, you know, I'm just one of those people that the game's obviously not for. But I think because of the whole subject matter and, you know, surviving as a zombie apocalypse, I could potentially get into it, but with that said, I'm not going to go out and buy both, you know, Arma 2 and the expansions that you need just to maybe see if I would indeed like it now. So if they release a standalone game and the price is, like, decent, you know, fair enough, I think I would definitely check it out.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it'll do extremely well. I mean, you know, it's actually pretty amazing how many, even with its highly realistic gameplay. You know, they said it's got now 800,000 registered users. That's amazing.
Wow.
For this, yeah. Yeah, I think people were just maybe there's just a section of the audience that was just tired of, you know, the relatively simple, you know, shooting zombie games that we see in Resident Evil, Left 4 Dead, or something like that, and they just wanted something that was, you know, more like, yeah, I guess like what they would like to see in a Walking Dead game. I mean, the Walking Dead game is an adventure game; it's not really a shooting game, and I guess they would want to see something like that for a shooting game. And oddly enough, Theo, they announced a couple weeks ago during just before Comic-Con that there's going to be a Walking Dead first-person shooter game. You know, and you have to wonder, well, wow, yes, that's probably going to be more of a Left 4 Dead game than the DayZ mod.
Yeah, well, I think the appeal of it is, like, the bottom line is, with any first-person shooter, you're going to get through it. You know what I mean? It's a shooting game at the end of the day, and as long as you're somewhat competent in that genre, which if you're playing it, you are, you're going to get through. Like, I guess you could say, you know, Far Cry and Crysis, they bring a strategic element to it. There's some other games, obviously the Fallouts and Bioshocks, but still, like, at the end of the day, there's still more or less shooters where, yeah, you got to think about it, but there's not, like, a lot of deep thought, I guess is the best way to put it. So a game like this zombie game, where even though it's a first-person shooter, the main focus is on the reality of trying to survive, I think that's what, at the end of the day, appeals to people, because that's, you know, it's not really done yet.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out. Speaking of zombie shooters, today was the day that people who own Left 4 Dead 2 were able to get the final versions of the Coldstream DLC pack, by the way. I don't know if the Valve's been working on this DLC pack, which would bring an all new community made level along with all the previously released campaigns from the original Left 4 Dead to Left 4 Dead 2, and it was actually released for the PC today.
Really?
I think it was actually supposed to be released with Xbox 360 too. So all that should be. I know they were released for Steam. I don't know if they were released for the Xbox 360 today either. But I know they was released for the PC.
Yeah.
So if you play
Left 4 Dead's on sale as well, both the first and second one, for just $5. So if you've never played
Perfect
it, I guess
excused.
It's a good time to pick it up as well.
Yeah.
Where is the DLC free? Is it free?
The DLC for the PC is the DLC for the PC is free. I can't speak to the Xbox 360 version. But Valve releases there. But Valve always releases the PC DLC for free.
Yeah, okay. So, I was wondering, because I actually launched Steam right before we started the podcast, and it didn't grab any updates, but it turns out I uninstalled Left 4 Dead 2 to make some room. That's why. So.
Okay.
Well, yeah, once I reinstalled, it should just grab it automatically.
It should grab it automatically if you don't have to pay for it, I guess. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm actually probably gonna download Left 4 Dead 2 again just to play the entire. I guess I'll play the entire Left 4 Dead series now on one game, which I think, you know, a lot of you may. I don't know if you guys remember the debate a couple of years ago when Left 4 Dead 2 came out, and all these players were like, you guys are coming out with an all-new game 1 year after the original? You guys are supposed to release, you know, DLC for Left 4 Dead 1. And I'm like, gosh, guys, calm down. God, I mean, you know, it's like, you guys don't complain when a new, you know, Call of Duty game comes out every year, but you guys went ballistic when Left 4 Dead 2 came out 1 year after Left 4 Dead 1. I just thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah, it was one of those perfect examples of where sometimes people are a little too spoiled, and, you know, if anything, Valve is literally one of the best companies to PC gamers, so I'm with you. That was definitely probably uncalled for, and, you know, Valve basically wound up proving that they did the right thing just because it was so good. But,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'm curious if they're going to do a Left 4 Dead 3, though. What do you think?
Well, I think they would. I don't see why not. I mean, they've certainly, you know, made more games in their popular franchises. They're coming out with the new Counter-Strike game later this. I think it's coming out in August. Hopefully they're working on a new Half-Life game. So I would think that a new Left 4 Dead title would be, in the cards at some point.
Yep.
Just not right away. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff going on, If you believe all the internet stuff, they're working on new hardware and all this other stuff. It's, Valve does things differently.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's that. Like I said, there's really not much in terms of new games coming out in the next several weeks. I think, in fact, the next major game that's coming out for consoles is Darksiders 2 in August. And I know that, like you said, you're already looking forward to playing that.
Yeah, both that and Sleeping Dogs, at least in my location, are coming out on the same day, which is August 18th. So if I get a review copy of both of those, I'm not really sure what I'll be checking out first.
Well, so, I'll probably check out Darksiders 2, to be honest.
Probably.
Sleeping Dogs is kind of a little bit of an unknown entity, So. Yeah.
But luckily, people at Square Enix have actually been helpful in trying to organize a review copy, unlike some people, Activision and Ubisoft.
Activision. What about terrible. What about THQ? Are they being helpful with Darksiders 2? Have you heard anything from them?
Yeah, the THQ press contacts off doing something in Australia that's related to Darksiders 2 at the moment, so I'll just have to wait till they get back so I can contact them about that, but... Yeah, hopefully I can score myself a review copy of both of those, but yeah, hopefully it doesn't turn out like Activision, because they were the worst company I've ever worked with in terms of trying to get a review.
That's too bad. Oh, well, I'm sorry. And then, of course, we're supposed to have Torchlight 2 coming out this summer, hopefully, maybe, eventually. And then the week after Darksiders 2 Sleeping Dogs comes out, we'll have Transformers Fall of Cybertron, which I'm actually looking forward to playing.
I'm always cautious of games based on movies.
Have you played any of the earlier Transformers games? Because they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I played one of them. I'm not sure which one it was. And I didn't think it was that good.
It wasn't that good, but it wasn't that bad. I guess is the better way to put it. And yeah, I thought it was like fun. It was the second one I thought was the better one. I think they've released two so far, and I thought that I thought they were both decent. I'll put it to like I said, they're way better than I expected them to be. Because I'm with you. Usually, any games based off of any existing type of properties are usually just cash-ins trying to get the little kids to buy the game, But I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised. So, I may rent it.
Well, my feeling is that the Transformers based directly on the movie, the Transformers games based directly on the movies are probably not very good. But that the ones that are kind of original and not really tied into the movies per se tend to be better. So that's why I'm kind of looking more forward to this new game, because it's not really tied into any of the movies. So. We'll see how that goes. And then, of course, August 28th is a big one for PC gaming fans with Guild Wars 2. That is probably going to be... we've had a lot of MMO games come out in the past several months. But this one's probably going to be the biggest release for, a non-expansion pack. So...
Yeah, some of my mates are really excited about that.
Really?
I'm not too excited myself because I'm not a big MMO player, as I've mentioned in the past. But yeah, some of my friends are just so eager for that day to come around so they can finally check it out.
Really?
So yeah, it will definitely be a big release.
Yep. And then September, the floodgates really open. There's a bunch of major games coming out that I'm really looking forward to. Lots of good fighting games coming out. Dead or Alive 5. Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Those are I'm looking forward to playing both of those games quite a bit, actually.
Borderlands 2.
Yeah. I was about to say Borderlands 2 is coming out in September. Really looking forward to playing that quite a bit. And let's see, what else?
Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6 is October, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, October 2nd.
Yep. Yep.
I'm also looking forward to Dark Souls. I think it is the PC, which is released for consoles a while back, but it's coming to PC this next month, I think. So.
Yeah, August. Yeah, the Dark Souls PC port. Yeah, that's definitely coming out in August sometime.
I've heard it's very hard, so I'm up for a challenge.
I was just going to say, that's that brutally hard game, right?
Yes, that's right.
I'm up for the challenge, I think. It's always good to not have to cruise through a game and die a lot.
Definitely, and what else is coming out in the next few for like you said Resident Evil 6, of course. See, I'm just going through my list here.
Dishonored,
yeah, I think Dishonored is coming out in October. Yeah, you're right about that. You know, that's a game that I got to play briefly at E3. It's definitely one of those steampunk themed games, but it's also got an interesting little, you know, some RPG light systems, and you have special powers and stuff like that. I'm still not quite sure if all those elements will mash together into one cohesive whole yet. But
yeah, me either.
It's reasonably funny. Going on Wikipedia, and it says the first thing for Dishonored. Dishonored is an upcoming first-person neo-Victorian steampunk stealth action-adventure role-playing video game. Yeah.
My point exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much.
It's got a lot of stuff going on, and you have to wonder if there's going to be if it's all going to gel together into one good game. But, you know, the Arkane Studios have made good games in the past, and Harvey Smith, who was one of the big people behind the Deus Ex, the first two Deus Ex games, is also over there. So it should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. XCOM Enemy Unknown, this is the turn-based strategy game. The revival of the XCOM franchise, that's coming out in October 9th. That's being done by Firaxis, which of course makes the Civilization games. So hopefully that's going to be good. What else we got?
Assassin's Creed 3 at the end of October.
Yes, Assassin's Creed 3. A new setting. Looks amazing. Looks very cool. Can't wait to play that. And to be honest, I'm really not a big fan of the Assassin's Creed games, mainly because of their medieval setting. But I'm actually looking forward to the fact that it's being set in during the American Revolution and the colonies. I think that could be, you know, something that'll keep me interested more. So
maybe I'm a huge fan of the medieval setting. I think it's one of the best games that they've actually set in that time period for sure. So.
Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Assassin's Creed. I've pretty much loved them all, yeah.
Cool. Some other games coming up. Medal of Honor Warfighter is coming up on October 23rd. I wish I could get more excited about this game, but I'm not.
Yeah.
It just seems like a typical military shooter that we've seen 300 million times before. And like I said, I got to play the multiplayer at E3. It wasn't really all that. Didn't scream out to me, unfortunately. A game that did scream out to me was PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale for the PS3. That's coming out on October 23rd. Can't wait to play that. That should be a lot of goofy fun, I hope. Microsoft's coming out with Forza Horizon on that same day, which they haven't really talked a whole lot about yet. But it's supposed to be more of an open world driving game. And maybe less of a sim game than the other Forza games, which may be pretty fun. Of course, the Need for Speed Most Wanted is supposed to be coming out on October 30th. October 30th. That's right. And I can't wait for that game. I don't know. I mean, if it's basically going to be Burnout Paradise 2. And I still, like I said, I still play that game. So I can't wait.
Does such a good job of the racing games, sort of like Codemasters. I think Codemasters and Criterion are my two favorite developers for racing. Sure. So that's one to look out for, I think, definitely.
Yep, definitely. Halo 4, the next game in the Halo series, is coming out the Xbox 360 on November 6th. This will be the first game that won't be done by Bungie. The first-person shooter Halo game won't be done by Bungie. It'll be done by Microsoft's 343 Industries. So while I'm looking forward to it, at the same time, I'm like, is it going to be as good as the folks from Bungie are going to be done? So we'll see about that. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I'm just kind of like,
nervous. I've never been a huge Halo fan. Everyone that I know seems to be really into it, but it's just never grabbed me particularly. I don't know whether
I'm with you, man.
It works,
I think it's one of the most overhyped video game series in the existence of video games, personally. I just never, don't get me wrong, they're very good games, they really are, but I just never thought they were great games like they're made out to be, that's all. So, yeah, I'm with Tim there. I never got it.
It's something I've about the enjoyed shooting mechanics, I think, at least for me.
What's wrong with the shooting mechanics?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'm always one of those people that likes to, in a first-person shooter, to look down the sights of the gun when I'm shooting. You know, you can't do that in Halo 4, and it's really frustrating, because I always go to, like, do it, and you just can't, and it's always remapped to, like, the grenade or something, and, yeah.
I'm laughing because I've mistakenly thrown grenades in the Halo series thousands of times. Literally,
I do it
thousands.
All the time. And I played Reach. I think I only got halfway through because I just got sick of it. I'm just like, well, that's just so frustrating. And
that whole lining up the sight stuff, that doesn't really bother me that much. I understand where you're coming from, but it didn't really bother me. Now, of course, the grenade stuff, throwing the grenades constantly by mistake, you know, that can be a pain. I would agree. But I've gotten through all of the games. And that's something I really can't say about many games that I've played. I've played through every single Halo game from beginning to end, at least in the single player. You know, so...
Yeah, me too. The only one I actually didn't was Reach.
Really? So,
yeah. I forget why. I don't know. There was other stuff out, and I just... But I have beaten all the other ones. Don't get me wrong. I think they're good games. You know what I think my biggest... The reason I'm not a huge fan of Halo is it almost seems like the gaming community gives it credit for like being the first real first-person shooter or something when... I mean, there were so many FPSs on the PC prior to Halo coming out, and it's like so many of them get forgotten about because of Halo, because it was big on the console. So in a way I've kind of just had like a personal beef against Halo, because I know it, like I said, it's for a lot of people, they refer to it as like the one game that really made FPSs big. And I just don't know if I agree with that. So
I don't disagree with anything of what you're saying, Larry. I think obviously there were tons of great first-person shooters on the PC before Halo came about. You know, having said that, I do think that Halo was a big factor in bringing the first-person shooter to the console. I think the only good first-person shooter that was made for the console before Halo was GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64. And so I give the folks at Bungie credit for making a Halo, for making a first-person shooter that a lot of people wanted to get and was able to continue that series. But that's just me. And then the story was good, too. I mean, I thought I was involved in the story. That's something that, you know, most first-person shooters, at least up to that point, really didn't care about that much, and I actually enjoyed the story in the original Halo more than most shooter games.
Yeah. Something else that bugs me about Halo is that I've never particularly found the whole sort of environment and enemies and sort of lore that goes behind the story particularly compelling. I mean, for a sci-fi game, there's a lot of great, you know, a lot of great stories that have been made that are in the set in the future. Like Mass Effect is a great example of a whole,
mm-hmm.
whole world and environment that they've put a lot of effort into making really good. And I just never have found the, you know, the world that they've created for Halo particularly good at all. And I don't know.
You know what always killed it for me was the stupid little enemies, the ones that the like little yeah. purple things. That for whatever reason they completely always ruined it for me. As soon as I saw them, I was just like, "Oh my god, these are the corniest little aliens I've ever seen."
Yeah,
I never mind them. I like shooting them.
Well, I did too because they were so annoying. So yeah, I guess maybe that was intentional.
I agree with you, Tim, that in comparison with Mass Effect, I certainly think the fiction of Halo is lacking in comparison to Mass Effect. But again, Halo came out in 2001, and you know when storylines for first-person shooters and games of that ilk really, again, didn't get a lot of attention. So yeah, I agree with you that in comparison to later games such as Mass Effect, you know, even Dead Space or other games such as that, the fiction of that series the fiction of Halo doesn't really hold up. But, you know, it was a groundbreaking game for me in many ways. You know, I was not really much of a console player before the Halo came out, and it made me want to get an Xbox when it came out. So that's just me.
Yeah, I definitely understand how many, many people can enjoy it. And I think it is, like Larry said, a really well-made game. It's just not my thing, and I prefer the more Battlefield 3 style first-person shooters. So,
right,
I will check out Halo 4, but I'm not convinced that I will like it in any way.
Yeah. Okay. On October 13th, we'll get Call of Duty Black Ops 2. This is the one that will take place some of it in the early 80s and a lot of it in the year 2025. It might be good. I don't know. I'm actually kind of intrigued by the 2025 setting, but we'll see what happens with that. Hitman Absolution is coming out on November 20th. I think that game might actually be pretty fun, but that's we haven't had a good Hitman game in quite a while, quite frankly. So maybe the last few years for this game being developed may make it better.
Yeah, well, the last game was actually Blood Money, wasn't it? And that was 2006. So it is quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hitman, I have fond memories of Hitman on the PC, man. The real good games, the original ones. So
yeah.
if they could somehow revisit the magic of those original games, I'm all for it. They were really good games.
Yeah, I've actually never played one.
Really?
Well, the original ones, the first few of them, were released when I was reasonably young, so I don't think the Hitman game was probably appropriate when I was about six.
Probably not.
So, yeah. And then Blood Money came out in 2006, and they haven't made a game for the following 6 years, so I guess I just never picked up the series. In the Steam sale, I did get Blood Money, but I might pick up some of the earlier games as well before I tackle that one, just to see what the whole franchise is like. And I do like Hitman sort of things, so I probably will like the series.
I'll just warn you now, they were definitely harder games back then. Like,
They were very hard.
yeah, they were. It was a different time for gaming, I like to say. It was, you know, it's hard games weren't frowned upon like they. They were longer. They were definitely harder. And I think there might be a resurgence where people are starting to kind of want that challenge again. But for a while, games just really held your hand and all that. But you know, so I am curious to see how this one plays out, because I've read a couple of mixed things that it actually hold your hand a little too much for you know, the series historically. So I'm curious, definitely. You guys are killing my GameFly game queue here. Pretty much every game that John's mentioned, I did not have on my GameFly game queue, and I've just been adding them now. And now it's literally insane. I got 29 games in my GameFly queue,
jeez.
And that's pretty much just through March of 2013.
You're gonna get your money's worth out of that conscription. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'll add one more to you if you haven't added already. Far Cry 3 is due out in early December.
Yep, I have that one already. That's been waiting. Okay.
Yep. Yep. That's another game I'm looking forward to playing. It was supposed to come out in September, but they pushed it back a few months to put some more time and effort into it. So, like I said, I got to play the four-player co-op mode at E3, and it was a lot of fun. So, I think that's, we've hit a lot of the major games, I think, that's coming out in the next, before the end of the year. And hopefully we'll be back. The Neo Gamer podcast will be back before then. So we can talk about how cool or how crappy these games are.
Yeah. And speaking of getting your money's worth, just on the Steam summer sale that I've mentioned a couple of times, I actually finished up with 20 games for just under $100, I think. So,
So $5 per game, more or less.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's a pretty good sales. And I think that will keep me busy for the next, 5 years because of all the upcoming games that are coming out as well that I want to check out. So, yeah, lots to play.
Definitely. Wow. Well, nice. I guess we will say goodbye for now for our Neo Gamer podcast. I've really enjoyed doing the podcast every week with you guys. I hope you guys have enjoyed as much as I have.
Oh, yeah, it's been great fun talking about games. A lot of my friends aren't really into video gaming for whatever reason, not really sure why, but yeah, it's been good to have a chat with someone who actually enjoys games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same position, Tim. A lot of my friends, a couple of them are gamers, but for the most part, they aren't gamers, so it's kind of I'm kind of a outcast, so to speak. So yeah, it's definitely really, really have enjoyed the time that we spent, and I have to say, I'm actually very proud of the fact that we made it to episode 29, because this go-around was actually the third time I've tried to do the gaming podcast for Neowin over the years, and I think the most we ever made it to the last time around was episode 4, so...
Well...
Yeah, so
That's pretty good, yeah. I think. That's a pretty good run.
Absolutely.
And again, I don't think we're going to... This is not... This, like I said, this is not the final podcast. We're simply taking a little bit of a break. Tim and I have already discussed it. In fact, once he gets some screw-related stuff done, he and I will probably come back in a few months and redo the podcast again, especially as we get closer to October and November and some of the big major games come out. Thank you for all of you who have listened in on to this podcast, either through the streaming or via our recorded podcast. Of course, Tim will be uploading this podcast up very soon for those of you who listen to this after the fact. But like I said, we will be taking this podcast on a little bit of a rest. But we will be back, I know Tim is looking forward to getting through school so we can perhaps do some stuff he would like to do.
Yeah, it's about 2 months left, then exams, and then I'm done. So hopefully it will be good to get done.
Yes. And hopefully we'll be back around that time to continue the podcast with episode 30. But for now, this is John Callahan signing off for Larry and Tim. We will be back hopefully in a few months with the episode 30 of the Neo Gamer podcast. But until then, you guys keep playing games, keep checking out neogamer.com for all the latest PC gaming news, and we'll talk to you in the very near future. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Been a good run, guys. Thanks.
Definitely.
Thanks.